Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Rooted Deep, a podcast featuring Reba Bowman and Allison Hale.
But if you're building your life on Christ, if you've got the Holy Spirit living within you, if what is in you is good and God is working on that and bringing that out in you and you're bearing fruit and all of these things because of God's work in our lives, then, you know, suddenly the external is really an outward glow of what's happening on the inside.
Right. And
that really is makes us beautiful people. And I think that we have to get away from this comparison trap. We talked about that in a couple sessions ago. But we have to get away from that when it comes to what we look like or how we're built or all of these things. Because if we're not careful, we obsess or we live in a state of depression over the fact that I don't look like so-and-so and I'm not built like so-and-so and I'm not this or that or the other. And you know, all of the things that we, you know, that we struggle with. And I know as women, as a woman, I can say that if I'm struggling in certain areas of my life, it becomes a mental battle. And a mental battle turns into an emotional battle. So all of a sudden as a woman, I know this to be true. I'm fighting on every front. I'm fighting a mental battle. I'm fighting an emotional battle, which is a spiritual battle. And I on every front now, I am fighting for my life because I allowed myself to go somewhere, you know, in some way that was not healthy for me. And now I'm ended up fighting a battle mentally and emotionally and physically. And so I think for all of us, it is like, wait a minute, you know, am I being a good steward of what God's given me? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, keep moving. If the answer is no, then where do I need to, what do I need to correct? You know, maybe I do need to cut back on certain foods. Maybe I do need to add water to my, you know, maybe I do need to work out. Maybe I need to go for a walk. Maybe I need, okay, let's get these things going. Let's be good stewards, right? Because we want to be able to do for as long as God allows us to serve him. We want to be able to serve him. But my motivation is just that. My motivation is service and glory to God. It's not so I can go to church and see Sister so-and-so and go, man, I look a whole lot better than she does.
And I think, and we've had it down in the Dominican, and I know you guys have had it too, when you've had mission groups. And there have been, we have, in the last few months, we have had several over 80 year old participants on our mission groups. They are generally the, they don't lag. They've got the energy. We had a Bible club and we had a 90-year-old mission trip participant with her 88-year-old husband. They had just been married, I think, 3 or 4 years. They were absolutely adorable. But
I love it.
It was adorable. But they, when we walked into church, the little kids, it was a Bible club and the kids had put on some music to kind of get the kids in there. And she was in the middle dancing merengue with the children. And I'm like, and I just looked at a few people. I'm like, she's 90. I just want to tell y'all that she's 90, but she has lived her life in a healthy manner, but it's not about her outward appearance. It was literally about her life. It was just full of God's grace and mercy and healing. And she was living it. And it's like, if we could steward our bodies to where we're still living and serving well into our 70s, 80, whatever. You know, or as long as he wants, because he has our days. He knows our days are, you know, he knows when the time is up. But just understanding that stewarding our body is a part of a larger goal, which is, like you said, okay, fix what you need to fix physically so you can do the work of the Lord. So you cannot be distracted by this, and you can focus your mind on the spiritual and the emotional and the service, the outward service toward, toward God. And I think that's just a reflection of being able to, because we're called to do good works. And how can we do good works if we're distracted in the gym, or if we're sitting at home depressed, or if we don't have the energy to go out because we don't
Yeah.
look like the person at church. And so that cycles, and we know that just kind of turns into a vortex, and
Yeah.
really gets us off balance. And
Oh,
so,
no, no question.
understanding that the Lord is looking at the heart, and we can have peace with how we're taking care of our bodies so that we can also do the work that he's called us to do.
Yeah, and we live in an age of AI filters, edits, and all these other kind of things. Now, you know what? You can have fun with those things. If you want to have fun, go have fun,
Put some
okay?
funny glasses on, the little dog ears. Let's do that.
I mean, good night. But I think we have to be careful that we don't, we take a picture and now we can't release it into the world until we've done all the edits and all the filters and we've done all the stuff to make us look like the person that we're not. And I think we have to be careful. It sets unrealistic standards. And when we see things today, we have to understand, is that real or is that AI? We don't even know anymore. And so I feel like our focus needs to get off of the temporal and onto the eternal. And as we shift that focus, then you know what? And I totally can be this way. Even though I don't typically obsess over a lot of these things, but at the same time, I can totally be this way because there's times when I'm speaking at an event and I'm on two gigantic screens on my left and on my right, and I look up at those screens while I'm speaking, and there I am 50 foot high, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh my word, this was not a good outfit
Not
choice
a
or
good angle.
whatever, And I'm trying to talk about Jesus. And I'm in the middle of my talk and I catch a glimpse, and if I'm not careful, that can just go right there. And the next thing you know, I'm trying to speak and I'm distracted. And I'm thinking about something else. And I just think for all of us, we've got to, I think Allison, you said this, we've got to reframe our, it's instead of body confidence, it's body peace. We've got to be at peace with who we are, be the best you can be. And then be at peace with who you are.
And the finding that peace is, and here's the thing, this is, again, you find it, and then you lose it, and then you find it again. And so it is one of those, because
The
I've been
battle.
there. I've been like, look at me, I can do all these weights, and I can run up the stairs, and I can spend time, and I can climb, I can sit on the floor, with somebody, and there, and so I'm just kind of enjoying the fact that my body can still do that. But then there's other times when I was like, I look hideous, I look horrible, and so finding the body piece and getting that formula to where you can find it again, and where you can keep going back to, where you take your thoughts and just like, okay, hang on, hang on, hang on. I'm focused. Let me go back to worshiping God for how he made me, who he made me, and then find that peace again. And so looking at to where, instead of seeking out body confidence, definitely seek out body peace and worship, and body worship, not body worship, worship God for who he, for worship God for how he made us. And so there's definitely a stewardship issue about this, but it does start with the mind. It's like, why do I want to take care of my body? Not because I want to look the best, because I have to look like this person, or look like this person. I have to, every time somebody takes a picture of me, because I don't know about you, every time somebody takes a picture of me, 70% of the time, it's a horrible angle. I really think I have just like one sliver of a maybe a decent angle, And so somebody posted a picture of me the other day of me, and it was actually, I'm giving somebody a discipleship, and I'm my Bible study, and I'm sitting there with a Bible teaching somebody else, and all I can focus on that picture is my tummy's pooching out a little bit. And I'm like, no, hang on. back to I'm opening the Bible and sharing, somebody snap a picture of me and I can't concentrate on. And I'm like, look at my angle. I have no jawline. And I literally, those thoughts went through my head,
Right, yeah,
you
I know.
know. So pulling that back in and saying, what have we been put on this earth to do? Not
Yes.
look good on Facebook.
Right.
That's not our
Right.
eternal goal here. That is not
Right.
eternal.
No, I'm with you. I know I was speaking the other week and I told a group of women, as we were talking about something that had a relation to this, it's like, God didn't make me a size six because he probably knew I couldn't handle it. Because I would probably speak in like a bikini or something,
Right, yeah. Yeah.
and I'd be
Like,
like,
look at
here, look
me.
at me, and he's like, oh, Reba, you can't be a six, you'll strut way too
Mm-mm.
much if I make you
Yeah.
a six,
Yeah,
and
you're, yeah.
I think, yeah, God knows what to build us for in certain ways, but I think, all of these things we've said are so true, but as we close out or as we get near the end of this podcast, I think, okay, so what does it look like on the practicals? We're always trying to
Yeah.
give you not just talk about it in theory, but also talk about it in like the real world foot crashing pavement moments of what does it look
Yeah.
like in practical ways to honor God with our bodies? And if we honor God with our bodies, that means we're honoring ourselves.
Yeah,
You know,
exactly.
it's a great way to live your life, and it's a great way to model to teach your children how to live their lives,
Yeah.
and a grandchildren how to live their lives. So let's, also we this could be exhaustive, but we only wrote down a few. But so
Yeah.
let's just kind of talk about a few of these things, about just some practical ways that people can think differently and live differently.
Yeah, I think the first one is starting with nourishment. Instead of we had there's so many issues out there about having a poor view of food, or
Yep.
having either food insecurity or food obsession. And so eating with gratitude and not guilt, being thankful for the meal instead of looking at it going, I'm guilty. You know, I had to run out and just grab something quick for my kids so I could do this or that. You know, eating with gratitude without and instead of guilt is going to really change our mindset about food. I feel like food that was is closer to the way God created it to be is probably the better option.
Sure.
So it's a choose this, not that. I think there's so many, you know,
Yeah, absolutely.
but eating, you know, just changing our thoughts about food, and not we're not eating either out of guilt or out of stress or out of but really taking the time. And I think so many times we don't sit down at a meal and thank him. We're either on the go or we're watching TV and we're just mindlessly putting stuff in. So
Yeah.
taking a moment of gratitude and worship for what he's given us is a good way to look at food.
Yeah, and as believers, so many times we actually do pray before a meal. And that prayer is not supposed to be a ritual of mindless words that we repeat
Right.
over and over and over again every single time, but it really should be gratitude for food that's
Yeah.
provided for us. And so, one of the ways, a super practical way that you could flip your script on nourish and gratitude is stop repeating the same words every time you pray. When you sit before
Yes.
your food, pause a second and wait a minute, say, God,
Yeah.
I'm really grateful. And now really be grateful for
Yeah.
the
And name it
food
on
he's
the
pro
plate. I'm grateful for this
absolutely.
pizza and I'm grateful for
I'm
the green
grateful
beans.
for yeah, I'm
Yeah.
grateful for this. I'm thank you for providing this for me.
And
And
thankful for the people that I'm with, or yeah.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that changes the dynamic a little bit for us. Instead of all of us, I think, are guilty sometimes of just mumbling the same words over and over and over again,
Yeah, oh
when we
yeah, I
sit
have
down
it
to
in my
pray
head
for.
right now. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's at some point, at least I know for me, maybe not for you, but I know for me, at some point it just becomes words I say. And I'm just whipping through those words in order to get to the part where I pick the fork up.
Yeah.
And so I think, we need to be careful.
Yeah.
Here's the second one, and that is not just nourish, but rest. We talked about this on many podcasts, but having our own Sabbath is God's idea.
Yeah.
And it predates the law. So
Yeah.
it was modeled at creation, and it has been modeled through scriptures. So pre-law and
Yeah.
New Testament, we see these principles of Sabbath, and that means moments of rest, whether it's a day of rest, whether it's a week of stepping away, whether it's a time of sabbatical, whatever that looks like, but really just taking periods in our life where we rest. And you know, I'm a night owl. I'm not a morning person, but I can stay up fairly late. And if and but as my life demands me to get up early, and it requires me to go do things earlier in the morning, I have to be careful. For me, this is just practical. I have to be careful that I actually go to bed at a time where I can get up the next morning and be productive at the hour I need to get up. Otherwise, I want to stay up till I want to stay up. And then the next morning, I don't even know my name for the first 3 hours of the day. And that, you know, so it's using our brains, right, to think through these things and say, wait a minute, what does it look like for me to get good rest? Because if I stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning and I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm not getting the rest that I need. So what does it look like for me to get good rest? And that's so nourishing and getting rest. And then what's the next one?
The next one, I love it because it's about movement. We have to, we cannot, we were not meant to sit down all day. And so movement, but movement to celebrate, it's not a punishment. Being able to move, I mean, some people love running. I used to love running. I used to be a runner in college. I loved it because it was just kind of out, you know, I could think, but finding, but using movement as a way to celebrate what God has made and not punish your body. Oh, I have to go to the gym. I'm going to punish my body for what I just ate, or I'm going to punish my body because I look bad in a picture.
Oh, good point.
Instead of moving to celebrate. And I mean, I've been at the gym before. I really have been at the gym before, and I've been like, thank you, God, that I can still do this at my age, whatever it is that I'm doing at that moment. And using like these new exercises, I'm enjoying them, and but I'm celebrating the fact that God is made. And I have truthfully been like, man, God, thank you that I'm twice the age of everybody else in this gym, because they're all tiny baby children, and they're coming home from, you know, they're done with college classes, and they're just coming in. And I'm, you know, and I literally, the trainer said, she's half your age, why aren't you as happy? And she told somebody that, and I'm like, shut up. But I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, you know. But at the same time, but you don't, it doesn't have to be movement in a gym or on a running track. It can be getting up and walking around, and playing with your children, and riding bikes with your grandchildren, or walking, you know, walking around,
Get
looking at just
outside.
what, get outside and celebrate what God has given us, and use movement as a way of worship,
Absolutely.
and walk around and pray. I pray when I walk. And so those are some things. Movement is, I think, so important, because we are not meant to sit still,
Yeah,
I don't
no,
think.
exactly right. Getting up and getting out. I love getting outside. I love getting in nature. You know, it's a great way to worship. It's a great way to pray. It's also just a great way to take in some sunshine, breathe some fresh air. It's just good for us in so many ways. But it's, you know, I think we should make these things enjoyable. You know, it's not like, oh gosh, I mean, obviously there's a lot of days I'm like, I don't want to do this. But you know,
But I feel good at the end. I'm like, well,
well,
I
and once you
know in
start,
45
you
minutes
always
I'm
feel
gonna,
good once you start. It's the starting that's the part, right?
It's the starting.
It's
I
the
can come up
starting.
with, if you start making excuses for why you won't move, you can talk yourself out of it in 5 minutes. And so I literally have to be putting on my tennis
30
shoes and
seconds,
heading
right?
out the door. And I'm like,
Right.
oh, sorry, I, you know,
It's too late. I'm dressed now, right?
I can't do it. And so, and I was dressed the other day. I had such a horrible day that I was like sitting in the gym by myself, and I'm like, just get up, Allie, just get up and do, you'll feel better. I promise you'll feel better as soon as you get up and pick up a weight or something. But you're, you know, but you always feel better at the end, because God created our body with endorphins, and endorphins make you happy, you know, they don't make you sad.
True, right. Getting up, just get moving. So, you know, so we're nourishing, we're getting rest, we're moving, and then we're also healing. And so heal. I think that this is, you know, so many different perspectives on this in our culture, but you know, we all sometimes you just experience hard places in life, whether that be early on in life, whether that be currently in life, but you know, whether that be getting medical help, whether that be going to get some counseling, whether that going to physical therapy, I mean, whatever it is, but healing is a key part of our lives and honoring God with our body. And so I think it's important, you know, if you're hurt, go find out what's wrong. You know, if you need mental help, go get that help. And but I do think, and we were talking about this before the podcast started, I do think the balance here is there are some people that their whole life is an excuse for why they can't
Why they
get
can't.
today done. Well, I'm just not in a good headspace. Well, I'm just emotionally in not a good place today. Well, that's, you know what I mean? I mean, that doesn't mean I can't go do what I need to go get done today. So if there is a struggle, then deal with it. But don't let it be an excuse for why you can't get done what you need to get done, because that doesn't bring God glory either.
No, exactly. And I think I've been in this space. And I literally have been in a headspace, and it's just, it's again, it's happened this week. It's like, I just want to just walk out the door and just go home and wrap myself in a blanket and be done with the day. But I'm like, I can't do that because there's still things to do. There are still things, there's still things, people waiting, people expecting, people, and or there's still things that I've put on my list and there's still some obedience that has to happen. I have been told to do certain things by God. And I can't just say, oh, that it's a hard day. I'm just gonna pack it in early. But I will tell you this, I prayed through it. I coached myself through it. And then I was like, at the end of the day, I was like, man, I got some stuff done, and I'm thankful because you can get in your, you can be either sad or frustrated or stressed out so much that you do kind of paralyze and like, I don't want to do anymore. But then you can work through that. And if counseling or coaching needs to happen
Get it.
to get those moments, because I had to have counseling, I had to have counseling to get those moments of, okay, it's hard, but you still need to do it, and once you're done, have moments of gratitude or once, or you, or my counseling was, you've never created margin for yourself, so you can't get it all done, so you don't do anything. And that's where I was. It was like, I can't do the 83 things I had today because I wasn't supposed to. I was supposed to just get 20. So instead of getting 83 done, instead of getting 20 done, I got 0 done because I was so overwhelmed. And so if counseling is needed, if boundaries and margin is needed, these are the ways to heal. If there is something physically wrong, or at our age, if there's a our hormonal check that we need to have done,
Go get it done.
or go get it done, because there's some physical healing that maybe needs to be addressed.
Right,
But
exactly. Because
heal.
you, right, exactly. Because to glorify God is not to have all of these things in our little excuse bucket so that we pull them out all the time. It's to actually address them, go deal with them, and go figure out what's going on. And so I think that's the ways we honor God with our body, is to actually go address these things. So if there's healing that needs to take place, what does that look like? Go get it done. Go get it done. And that's important. And so we got nourish, we got rest, we got move, we got heal, and then we've got serve, right?
Serve. I love this because I have told people for years, when they're not happy or when they're struggling with something, I'm like, you know what I would do if I were you? I would get out and serve somebody else. I would get out and use your body, your hands, your voice, your time. Pick up the phone and call somebody and ask how they're doing. Love somebody else. Use your body to serve somebody else, whether it's just going and doing a visit, whether it's picking up the phone and calling, whether it's going to a soup kitchen and volunteering, or volunteering at a local women's shelter, or volunteering at a church and saying, hey, do you need any help? Serving is a way that we can bring balance to how we're supposed to be using the body that God has given us. And we are not meant to just be alone living for ourselves. We're built for, here's the word that we always use, community. So we serve one another in community.
No, absolutely. And I think self-focus is one of the greatest detriments
Oh
to our
yeah.
overall health, mental and physical. One of the things I love in Psalm 139 is a real a little purpose statement that's tucked into this description. God says, in verse 14, he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And then 15 talks about my frame and how God skillfully wrought us. But verse 16, it's got this purpose statement tucked in it. It says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. So this was before, when I was just at conception. And in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me. When as yet there was none of them. Do we understand that God has ordained the days of our lives? We're here for a purpose. We're not here just to wander through and try to
Or to
figure out
binge
how
watch
what it
Grey's
would.
Anatomy.
Let's binge watch every season, and like till Jesus comes. We have a purpose. God ordained our days. And so, at this point, we're called to serve. And ultimately, keeping our bodies as the temple is part of the purpose for that is service. So
Yeah,
I can, what
exactly.
does that look like to be able to love other people, serve other people, use my time and my talents and my abilities to get out there and get going? And one of the greatest things to get my eyes off of me and self-pity and self-focus and self-loathing, okay, is to serve other
It's
people.
to serve. Yeah, exactly.
And all of a sudden it changes, right?
And it changes it. And I really do believe this because it's happened to me. I come home maybe a little bit more tired, but refreshed after serving somebody else. I really do. And so it's like I'm telling myself I should probably do this more often, because it is. It's what God has created us to do is to live for other people. Philippians 2 says, let each esteem other better than themselves. And so the final one, I love this one, because it's create. It is, we have nourish, rest, move, heal, serve, and then create. God has given each of us a specific talent, whether it's cooking or singing or crafting or say writing something funny or telling a joke to somebody or gardening. They reflect God's image because he's given each of us a way to kind of create something, whether, and there's so many, it's not just art, it's not just drawing. There's so many things that we can do to just reflect God's creativity in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And nobody could be two different polar opposites in this area than me and Allison. Allison can sit down and just incredible. I mean, her doodles could be framed. My doodles are unrecognizable. They're abstract, extremely abstract. So it's not. Creating is not under this one caption of, oh, well, I can draw this or
I'm
I
not
can do this
artistic.
or, I've got this. But it's like it's being able to use that energy that God has given me, that created in his image, right? We are created in the creator's image, right? And so God has given us these things where we just enjoy. And some people, like you said, are great at just planting flowers and watching them grow, right? And there's something about that new life that comes up for others, for other people. It's other ways that you show your skills, the talents, and abilities. And man, when you're, and I'll tell you how you know where it's at. When you're doing it, it just brings you so much joy. So much joy. I mean, Allison and I, we've been friends long enough. I know, I can almost close my eyes on any given day and know that I can see you sitting at the cathedral. I can see you with your little coffee. I can see you with your little sketch pad, and I can just see you in your happy zone, just sketching away. And that just brings you so much joy. And and now that would not bring me
That
joy.
would drive you nuts.
That would drive me nuts, but it would, but that brings you joy. And so for me, what does it look like when I'm doing this? What does that, it brings me joy. And so many times if you find yourself in that place, man, this is this place God's given me where I create in this way that God really gives me a lot of joy over here. And whatever that is, whatever
Whether
it
it's
is.
writing or arranging a table or sitting there
Hospitality,
composing
right?
hospitality, right? And it's something that you're doing with your hands that is just bringing you, and it's going to look nothing like anybody else's in the world. You can get some inspiration from Pinterest, you can read some books, but then you go and create something of your own. And those are very joyful moments.
And I think that's all we all there's that brings to us energy. God has created those things to bring us that joy in our life and that energy to our lives. And it also is a tool that we can use And I don't think Allison will mind me saying this, but I'm going to rat her out for just a minute. But she's not this way anymore. But there was a day when you didn't want to show your art that much because
Oh, yeah.
you didn't think it was that good.
Right.
And you were like, no, it's just, it's
Using
just
me.
whatever. And I'm like, Allison, this is really good. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But understanding that it's a way that God uses you to bless other people. And like, I have two of your sketches in my office. I see it every single day.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, I love these. And so it's not like, taking that thing that brings you so much joy and being like, God, oh, doesn't have any value. No, it
No, it
does.
does.
It
Yeah.
does.
Yeah.
So find a way to bless others with it. Find a way to use it. Find a way to, to throw it out to the world.
Yeah.
And I think you'll double your joy.
Oh,
Because
absolutely.
it's one
Yeah.
thing to love it yourself. It's another thing to give it to others
And
and
it's
watch it
energizing as
explode,
well.
right?
Exactly. It is energizing. Bake some cookies and take them to your teachers, your school, your
Yeah, if
kids'
you're good at
teachers or
that, go
something. If
for
you're
it,
good at
man.
that, if you're good at it, don't do it if you can't. Find something
If you're,
else.
yeah.
If
Yeah.
you're not a good baker, don't start
Right.
now,
That may not be your thing,
That may not be your thing, and it's okay.
yeah.
It
But
really is
creativity
okay.
is such a broad field.
Right.
Don't just, I guess what we're trying to say is don't just isolate it to three things and you're like, oh, I don't do those three things well.
Right. Yeah.
But expand those things out to opportunities. And what do you do, man? I love this. This just brings me joy. And I don't know what it might be for you, but I know I have some things like that. So,
Oh, absolutely.
but man, here's the thing. I don't think you have to, I don't think what we're not saying is that you look in the mirror every day and you go, man, the world is blessed to have you in it. You are
You
incredible
are
and
a 10
amazing.
out of 10.
Wow. That's not what we're saying.
No,
Okay.
yeah.
But what we are saying is God has made me, and I'm going to try to take good care of my temple, and I'm going to
Yeah.
praise him for the way he's made me. I'm not going to obsess, compare. You know what? I'm going to be like, God, I'm going to find peace with who I am, and I'm going to find
Yeah.
peace with you, and I'm going to serve this world and focus on what really matters in this world. And I think if we live lives like that, I think there's no telling what we could bring to the world. And how much appreciation we would see, and how what value we would see that
Yeah.
others see in ourselves.
Right.
We devalue ourselves so much because we're chasing the wrong image. And if we could pivot, I
Yeah.
think our whole entire concept of us and others would change.
Yeah, exactly. And I think an eternal perspective is eventually we will have that glorified body
We
that God
will.
promised us. It Our bodies will be made new.
Yes.
But again, even eternity is meant to be lived for him, not
Yeah.
for us. And so just live gratefully in the body that we have,
Yeah.
knowing that he's ordained our days. He's prepared us for a purpose, and live that out to the best and most stewardship way possible. Steward our
Yeah.
bodies as best possible, and understanding that what there's only a couple of things that are eternal, and one of the things that is not eternal is how we look right now. That's not eternal. That God, his word, and the souls of men, that's what's eternal. And so if we live outwardly, if we have peace with what God's given us, and then
Yeah.
we live outwardly, then we can be grateful for what he's done in our lives.
Well said, Allison. Well said. Well, we hope that you'll find these truths to help you stay rooted deep. And we hope that it's going to give you success as you walk into it. So encouraging you, don't just listen. Don't just listen. Take action on something. Where is it that you've been nudged? You've been maybe convicted a little bit, maybe somewhere where you're like, ooh, wow, okay, I think that's me. I think I need to work on that. Whatever it is, pick one and take a step this week and watch those things begin to change. And as you find new roots going deeper into the ground, you're going to find success. We totally believe it because it's what God's promised. So until next time, stay rooted deep.
Thank you for listening to Rooted Deep. To learn more about Dare for More Ministries, go to dareformore.org and look up Mercy Workshop at mercyjewelry.org.